You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's Monday morning in Chicago, near the end of our month. You can hear school bells ringing. This is Graziano Marcheschi. I'm Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 820. I'm co-hosting today with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools. And we're going to be talking about Catholic schools today, as many schools are going back. Thousands of school kids are probably donning their uniforms for the first time this year today. I know Father Greg Sakowitz is not with us today because his school is beginning, and he wanted to be there for the start of the school year for his kids. Good morning, Nickel. How are you today?
I'm doing super, Rats. How are you?
I'm doing just great. What are we going to be talking about this morning? What's new with the Catholic schools in Chicago?
Well, I think we have three good segments this morning. And the first one, we're going to talk about some of the issues that are coming up against the Catholic schools as we look to beginning the school year. Have a lot of interesting things. We meet with our administrators a number of times during the course of the year. And the first one, we met with the administrators on August the 9th. And that's when we greeted about 290 presidents and principals throughout the Archdiocese. We operate 256 elementary and high schools throughout the Archdiocese, the two counties, Lake and Cook County. And there are approximately 25 brand new school administrators this year, too, out of that total of 290 or so.
Do you do anything to orient those new administrators to do they get any kind of on-job preparation, or is this something that they just need to know and be able to do on their own?
Well, great question. A couple things before they even begin. First of all, they have to have their administrator Type 75 certificate from the state of Illinois, so that's one requirement. The second one is that they have to, we're moving them towards being certified for religious education according to the archdiocesan criteria as coordinators of religion. But in specific to your question, what we do have is a orientation program that lasts all year. And we begin in July with 3 days of sessions, and then we meet with them once a month throughout the year, just talking to them about the new issues that they're facing and how to deal with those kinds of things, helping them to be the best they can be, get a good start.
Does the coordinators of religious education apply to the high school principals as well as the grade school principals?
Yes. For those who are high schools that are owned and operated, sponsored by the Archdiocese, there are 39 high schools this year. And six of those are owned and operated by the Archdiocese, three directly by the Archdiocese and three through parishes. The other 33 are owned and operated by religious orders. Now, it's interesting, though, that the religious program, and this is an important part, the cardinal is the primary religion teacher for the whole diocese, so he can require those high schools, or elementary schools for that matter, that are not owned and operated by the archdiocese, owned by, you know, the religious orders, to also abide by the religious education criteria, which would be the curriculum, the certification standards, and those kinds of things.
Now, this requirement for the all the principals to get this certification as coordinators, is that a relatively new thing within the archdiocese?
Yes, it is. We're trying to move more and more aggressively toward making sure that our lay people, as they take over from the religious, which has been going on for 20-some years, or even longer, since the Second Vatican Council, to make sure that they are qualified to pass on the faith, which is what Catholic schools are all about. So, yes, we are concerned about that. It is not an absolutely new thing, but certainly it is an effort that has been going on throughout the nation, and we are trying to move more aggressively here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So that would also include for teachers, too. We are not demanding that, requiring that of them. We are encouraging all teachers, and we're finding an awful lot of cooperation, collaboration from our teachers to move in that direction. But we are requiring it of our administrators.
So the administrators are not the direct deliverers of the religious content to the kids, but you're requiring them to get this basic training so that they themselves are well-versed in the faith, and they can then be the ones who are responsible for ensuring that the faith is passed on.
Well, the pastor is the chief catechist at the local parish level. He then delegates that to the chief catechist in the school, who is the principal, and then the principal has to make sure that it's happening in the classrooms.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. Thank you.
We require the principals to be Catholic persons, where we don't require that of teachers, but only Catholic people, you know, teachers can teach religion in our schools.
So if a non-Catholic teacher were hired to teach, say, fifth grade, then a special would be brought in?
Well,
to
a special Catholic.
A special Catholic. So one of the other teachers might fill in to do the
that's correct.
The coursework. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, actually, that's ringing a bell in my head, because my wife is now going to be teaching some religion classes at her school specifically because of that reason. Normally, she's the music teacher, but she's also going to be doing some religion to fill in for a teacher who isn't Catholic.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then our second leadership meeting is quite a significant one. It's the first time that we've had this kind of a gathering in many, many years. And that's going to be on September the 10th, and we call it Catholic School Educators Celebration. And we're going to call everyone. There's no school that day. We're going to have all the teachers, the principals. We're inviting pastors and other people to be, and parents, school board members, to come to the University of Illinois Pavilion to in Chicago here to celebrate Catholic schools. And we're going to have myself. I will say a few words about the school year and Genesis. We will then have a prayer service with Cardinal George. And we're also going to recognize him, as this is going to come from the schools. We've had a lot of recognitions of his 10th year here in the Archdiocese, but this is going to be from the schools and from the kids, and so this is going to be a special event, and we waited until now because we want to do it when all the kids were in school. And then we're having Doug Reeves come to talk to us. Now, we had Doug a couple, maybe a year and a half ago with the, for the principals. And all the principals said you have to have him back for the teachers. He is that good. Doug is, person who is with Leadership and Learning in 2007. That's the title of his keynote address, Building on a Tradition of Educational Excellence in the Archdiocese. He is chairman of that group called the Leadership and Learning International. He is quite a dynamic speaker, both nationally as well as internationally, so we certainly look forward to that.
Well, that's exciting. So this is like a morning?
Yeah, it goes from about 8:30, and it'll probably end around 12:30-ish, depending upon how the timeline goes. We're not going to be feeding everybody that. We're going to provide them places to go, because the logistics of feeding 6,000 some people would be just overwhelming. So we decided to make this a 4-hour program, and then let the people go and have lunch on their own.
And that's a wonderful tie-in with the Cardinal's 10th anniversary.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a wonderful opportunity for him as chief catechist to speak to his people who are doing the work. Again, we're inviting pastors and principals and teachers. Those are his chief catechists in the school, and I think it is a great opportunity for him.
Well, you're listening to Relevant Radio on AM 820 in Chicago. We're talking today about Catholic schools with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the superintendent of Catholic schools. We're going to move to a break and continue our conversation. Please stay tuned.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 820 in Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, and I'm talking this morning with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools. As you probably all know, Catholic schools and other schools are getting back in session. Lots of brand new smiling faces benefiting from this amazing educational system that we've established here in Chicago. Dr. Nick, are we the third, the fourth, the fifth? What size school system are we here in Chicago?
Well, as far as Catholic school systems go throughout the nation, we are the second largest. We were the largest for a number of years, but then New York overtook us. And so we're about just about 99,000 students.
Amazing.
217 elementary schools and 39 high schools. So that's quite a size in two counties.
That's quite a commitment on the part of this archdiocese, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We spend, for those 256 schools, approximately $600 million a year. And I think it's important to note that the parents are probably paying for around 89-90% of that per pupil cost. Parishes pick up some. The Archdiocese does. Big Shoulders does a few million dollars also. But the parents, the burden, the financial responsibility for that $600 million really comes from the parents.
And I bet very few people ever stop to think of how much money it's saving the public sector. That if the public schools were on for educating those 99,000 kids, or was that the number you gave?
Yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
99,000 kids. How much higher our taxes probably would be.
Well, we save the state $1 billion a year, just the schools in our archdiocese, just the Catholic schools in these two counties. So
amazing.
When you would take a look at all the different kind of private schools as well as throughout the whole state, you're talking about a tremendous size of budget savings for the state.
And there still are people who think that vouchers don't make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Or just a few million dollars to help us with transportation or with this health and safety standards that we're trying to get through, reimbursement for state mandated services. We need that kind of assistance, and you would think that when they see those kinds of numbers, they certainly would come back and help us out, but it doesn't make an impression on them. That's what's really quite astounding. When you go down to Springfield and talk to the fellows and to the gals who are our legislators, they really are not impressed by that.
That's amazing.
They still have all their other issues that are more important than how much money we save them.
I think they take us for granted. They know we're going to be here. We're not going to just walk away.
Yeah.
We won't walk away from our children and from our commitment to passing on the faith through this system. Well, Dr. Nick, a little while ago you talked about the Genesis program. Refresh our memories on what that refers to and then tell us about any developments.
Sure, that's my favorite topic. We started Genesis planning around two and a half years ago, and when we brought in Meitler from the Meitler Associates from Milwaukee, and then we also did a visioning process, and we married those two processes together, and we call it the Genesis New Beginning for Catholic School Education, and it is our strategic plan for the future. What we've been doing over the past couple years, aside from the developing it, is also beginning to implement some of those kinds of goals. There's 19 goals in Genesis that we've reduced now, I think, down to 17. But we've been doing a lot of work at the archdiocesan level The significant part about this year is this is the year that we are asking the schools to do their own strategic planning based upon Genesis. So we've been doing our planning at the archdiocesan level. Now we are asking the schools that they have to come out of this year with a strategic plan and some work toward implementing that strategic plan by June of 08. So that is a significant thing. We've been talking to them for the past, as I said, a couple years to make sure they understand it, to in-service them so that they understand how they can begin implementing it. That was the main thrust of our August 9th meeting, is to put them through a in-service program relative to our Genesis handbook, which handbook says, here's how you can do your local planning.
A strategic plan over a period of how many years?
Well, we're looking for them to develop a plan from 3 to 5 years. And as I said, there's 17 goals in Genesis. We don't expect them to address all 17 in 1 year. We expect them to take a look at their 3-5 years and take a look at their own school as well as the goals and say which of these 17 goals are most necessary in our school in year one, what can we put to year two, what can we put in year three, et cetera. And therefore, they are going to be addressing their greatest needs at the very beginning. And some things have to be done in sequence, too. So they have to be cognizant of that as they do their planning. But this is a big job, and they need to involve their school boards. They need to involve their faculty, their parents, and certainly other people in the parishes, because a significant part of the Genesis plan is what we call school financial viability, and that involves the parish support. So the whole parish should be involved in this.
Yeah, that's the key to success, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
The more people who buy into it, the more people who feel ownership, the more people who get to contribute their own wisdom and creativity to the process, obviously adds to the likelihood of its success. Now, before we continue, let me just tell our listeners, we'd like to receive calls from any principals out there, any parents, any teachers, about your plans for the new school year. Here's our phone number, 312-751-1979. 312-751-1979. Give us a call to tell us about your back-to-school activities. Now, Dr. Nick, you mentioned there are 17 goals in the Genesis program. Pick two or three that our listeners might be especially interested in hearing about.
Well, we organize the goals according to three categories. Enhancing our Catholic identity. Also, that's the first one. The second one is enhancing our academic excellence. And the third is making our schools more financially viable. And in respect to the first one, the Catholic identity, we talked a little bit about this in the first part of the show, but we are, for the first time, writing a catechesis curriculum for the whole archdiocese, pre-K through 12, that all of our schools have to abide by. As I said, even the private religious schools have to do that. So that's a significant step that was never done before. And also we are, as we said earlier, encouraging teacher certification for religious education instruction, as well as requiring our principals to become certified as coordinators of religious education. So this is some of the highlights in respect to the Catholic identity. In respect to the academic excellence, there's a number of things. I think it's most significant. Here again, we have never had in this archdiocese a curriculum written by the central office, by the archdiocese. Mm-hmm. We took that on, and we have now written all 9 that we require our schools to teach, and religion is the 10th. So that we have 9 others, including social studies and math and science and language arts, et cetera, et cetera. And those are mandated.
Excuse me. That sounds like a huge amount of work.
We have spent nearly $750,000 doing this. And I'm happy to say that the federal government, through the No Child Left Behind, has been able to fund $660,000 of that $700,000. So we really were able to get that done very cheaply to the Archdiocese. But we've had them done by very professional people. Professional organizations, universities have helped us do that. So we're really excited about that. And it used to be that the schools would have to write their own curriculum. And we said that's not the way to go. We have to have our own curriculum that's designed by the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. Now, A huge part of that is not just the writing of the curriculum, but also the implementation. So all the in-service staff development that goes around, making sure principals understand it so they can work with their teachers, making sure teachers understand it. That's a huge job that will be a significant part of this genesis, both at the archdiocesan level as well as at the schools.
And from my own observation, it seems there's a tremendous commitment to in-service within the Catholic school system.
Yeah, the greatest way, all the professional literature says that if you really want to improve schools, you do it by creating a learning community, which is really professional development, ongoing professional development. All professions have it. We are trying to make sure that we have the same kind of high standards of staff development programs for our teachers and administrators that other professions have. And I think we've made tremendous steps. We have now a director of staff development. We have a lot more staff development opportunities for teachers in the summer, throughout the year, for principals also. So we're very pleased with that step. Another thing that I think we need to get in here before we break for this other segment is in respect to one of the bigger thrusts of Genesis are these boards of specified jurisdiction. This is being required of the 57 schools that receive grants. All schools are being encouraged to do that. And basically, it's getting more lay people involved in the real responsibility of helping to govern the school. It's not taking authority away from the pastors, but it is giving an assistance to the pastors to take some of that burden off of the pastors, giving it to the board, and allowing the board to take over some of that and ownership part of that those tasks and responsibility to govern the schools. Huge issue, and it's we've even hired a person just to help those boards, in service those boards and form those boards and help them with their problems and get going.
Yeah, that really is a huge issue, and it probably warrants a whole show its own. I know we talked about it, mm-hmm. The two of us, once before. What strikes me is that much more ownership of everything we're doing as a church is being entrusted to our people, that more and more people are being called upon to really recognize that this is not a place that you come to be served, but it's a place you come to serve as well, that you receive much, but it's also a place where you can give much. And it strikes me, Nick, that the two primary goals you mentioned, the Catholic identity and the academic excellence, really feed into one another. As kids become more focused on their Catholic identity, I would imagine that it helps them be better students.
Oh, yes.
And the more they excel, the more they can appreciate this great tradition that we have.
Oh yeah, I always say that it's the presence of our faith life in everything we do in a school that pulls us towards excellence. And high expectations is one of the most important parts of excellence.
Well, we're going to move to a break now. You've been listening to Catholic Radio on AM 820, Relevant Radio in Chicago. We're going to go to a short break and be right back and continue our conversation about Catholic schools. Don't go away.
Invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Coming up during the next half hour, a conversation with Cardinal George about his health, about his visits to parishes of the Archdiocese of Chicago, all of them, and about recent comments from the Vatican about the Latin Mass and the identity of the Catholic Church. We'll also take you to several archdiocesan events, from the dedication of a shrine to those who protect us to the annual celebration called Noche de Gala. Welcome to The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
Since its founding in 1999, the Bishop Abramowicz Seminary Program has prepared 18 men from Poland to serve as priests here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. There are many more priests on the way thanks to this unique ministry. Hello, I'm Father Rich Kleibor, rector of the Bishop Abramowicz Seminary, inviting you to attend our seminary's annual benefit banquet, this year honoring Cardinal George on his 10th anniversary as Archbishop of Chicago. The banquet will be held Sunday, September 9th, at the Chicago Marriott downtown. A silent auction and cocktails begin at 5 p.m. with dinner at 6 p.m. Call 312-666-3675 for more information and to book your tickets. That's 312-666-3675. Thanks for supporting the Bishop Abramowicz Seminary Program. Dziękuję bardzo. Bóg zapłać.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, AM 820 in Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese. I'm talking today with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonowicz, and we're talking all this hour about Catholic schools. We want to remind any principals and parents listening to give us a call regarding any back-to-school activities going on at your school. The number is 312-751-1979. Nick, tell us, before we bring on our guest, about the system of principal president that we're utilizing at a number of our schools.
Certainly. And I think it's important to go back just to say that we mentioned earlier that we have 39 high schools in the Archdiocese. 36 of them, or 33 of them, excuse me, are owned and operated by private religious orders, six by the Archdiocese. And St. Francis de Sales High School, that where Rick works, is one of the archdiocesan high schools. The president-principal model comes out of the whole idea that there is so much to do at a school in terms of the instructional program and all of the things that go into making sure that you manage and lead an educational program well, and also the things that have to be done, like in a small business, institutional advancement, marketing, and fundraising and budgeting and financing. So we realized that there's just too much for one person to do. So we split those jobs and we create a president who handles the institutional advancement issues and a principal that handles the educational program. And so Rick is our president at St. Francis de Sales High School and has been doing a wonderful job trying to address some of the challenges facing that. So I welcome Rick and appreciate all the work that you've done down at St. Francis.
Thanks, Nick.
Rick,
it's a pleasure to be here.
Is that right?
Correct.
President of St. Francis de Sales High School.
Right. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
How long have you been the president?
I've been a president at St. Francis for 13 months.
13 months.
Prior to that, I was at Notre Dame High School for Girls for a total of about 13 years, 10 years in their development office, and then 3 years or so as their president.
Well, what do you find is some of the more exciting aspects of your job as president of a Catholic high school?
Well, it's just a wonderful environment to work in. I think that people are very called to be, very mission-driven. So it's kind of exciting on a day-to-day basis to work with a group of people who are very like-minded and very driven. needless to say, willing to work probably for a whole lot less money than they could gain in public school settings. But they do it because they know the good that they do. They also know that you know, we are going to provide an environment that is very safe, very caring, and very, very family community oriented. So that makes it real easy to go to work every day.
Now, you've got some exciting events happening at the school this year because it's a special year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're calling it kind of the 50th anniversary of our facility. St. Francis de Sales was actually founded by the parish in the 1890s as a two-year high school for a while, became a four-year high school, and as the baby boom came along, it was time to expand facilities, and the high school was built just at 50 years ago. So we're going to be celebrating with a series of events, some additional alumni reunion kinds of things, all alumni reunions, and a special dinner dance in the spring, and that kind of thing to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the building. The parish, shortly after it built the building, decided for a variety of reasons that they didn't want to continue to operate the high school. They would concentrate on the grade school, the elementary school. And so that's how we became an archdiocesan-sponsored school.
Tell us a little bit more about the school, the size, boys, girls, where you're located.
We are a co-ed school. We are located at 102nd and Ewing, which is on the east side. We are very close to the Indiana border. It is a great community. It's been a working class, very solid community for many years, obviously economically affected by the closing of so many steel mills and that kind of thing, but a very great community overall. We are about 315 kids going into this year. I'm real happy to say that that includes about 30 more freshmen this year than we had last year. And so we're very, very excited about the progress there. We are a very diverse school. We're 40% or so Hispanic, 40% or so African American, and the balance, you know, just a variety of ethnicities. It's a great place for people to learn together and to learn about each other as a result of that diversity.
What do you think the cause of the larger freshman enrollment was?
Well, I think we, I think the previous year was kind of a blip, a little bump in the road, and there could be a variety of reasons for that, but it was a significantly smaller freshman class than we'd had in the past. We worked our rear ends off this year. We have a very, very fine administrative team. We have a new marketing director who came in last summer, kind of too late to impact last year, but she immediately jumped in with both feet and got our programs and activities kind of turned around with a greater focus on that. In addition to the growth in the freshman class, which it's always a team effort. I mean, people have to really help. All the faculty and staff, you know, need to understand that, you know, they're classroom teachers first, but they have a large impact, a huge impact on our marketing efforts, on our enrollment, but particularly when it comes to retention. Typically, a high school like ours will lose quite a few students between freshman and sophomore year, especially. That's a very kind of typical thing. This year, we'll actually have more sophomores than we starting the year than we started with freshmen last year. Great. So we had some good interest from transfer students and just worked very, very hard to be sure that we were meeting the kids' needs and the families' needs and that they were going to stick with us.
Super.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Rick Huffman, the president of St. Francis de Sales High School, when we return from a very short break. You're listening to Catholic Radio on AM 820. Don't go away.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back on this lovely Monday morning as school bells are ringing throughout the Archdiocese. We are talking today about Catholic schools on the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools. And our in-studio guest this morning is Mr. Rick Hussman, who is the President, not the Principal, the President of St. Francis de Sales High School. On the far south side. What kind of tuition are you charging to keep that place afloat there?
This year, the tuition is $6,600.
Wow, that's a very reasonable tuition.
Right. We will spend close to $8,500 on each student, maybe a little bit more. Budget is approximately $2.8 million.
And how do you bridge that gap between what you receive in tuition and what it costs you to educate the kids?
We go out and ask.
That's why he's here today, Graz. He's just asking for some money.
No, thankfully.
I'm glad I forgot my checkbook.
we are very thrilled with the support that we receive from the Archdiocese, as well as especially the Big Shoulders Fund.
Yeah.
Josh Hale has been a very, very good friend. He's the executive director of the Big Shoulders Fund. John Canning and Jim O'Connor, the co-chairs, are just wonderfully committed, dedicated to making sure that every Catholic high school is viable. And so there's just been a tremendous level of support there. We're also, you know, developing our board of specified jurisdiction. It has been in existence for some time, but like anything else, you really have to pay close attention to it. So we're devising a series of introductory kind of meetings and sessions. We had the first one Thursday night in the middle of the storm, so the turnout was about 10 people instead of the 30 we expected, but really trying to make sure that people step into that board situation with a real sense of they've got some responsibility, but they have a say-so. And my board chairman is Mike Melendres. He's a graduate of St. Francis de Sales, extremely, extremely committed to St. Francis and to helping to bring other people to the table.
That's wonderful.
That's the important task for any of us.
Now, you mentioned earlier that your numbers have gone up for the incoming class. If others wanted to find out about St. Francis de Sales, how can they contact you? Give us a website and a phone number.
All right. The website is www.sfdshs.org. So SFDSHS means St. Francis de Sales. SFDSHS. So it's the first letter of St. Francis de Sales.
.org.
And the phone number is 773-731-7272. There's a menu, but my extension is extension 238.
And do that phone number one more time.
773-731-7272.
Right. I think that we need to ask him before we break in this segment is about the scholarship programs that you guys have going. I think that's very significant and helpful in your enrollment numbers.
It really is. We are going to provide probably around $700,000 in tuition assistance during the course of this coming year. We're able to do that, again, through the generosity of Big Shoulders and the Archdiocese. We have a merit scholarship program based on placement test scores and that kind of thing. But many of our kids come to us having applied to some wonderful organizations in the community, and they have to do this directly, not through us necessarily, Daniel Murphy Scholarship Fund, Link Unlimited. I don't believe that we have any HiSight kids, but HiSight is a program I'm very familiar with from when I was at Notre Dame. They do a good job of marketing themselves in the grade schools, but those are scholarships that the families have to go apply for through those organizations. We also try to link kids to a variety of donors who will sponsor specific kids for a certain amount of scholarship. We were very fearful of losing one of our best sophomores. Her family had fallen on some very, very difficult times. The last day of school, she came to us and said, I have to withdraw. There's no way that my family can afford tuition. So I just started jumping on the phone. And we ended up getting a variety of sponsors for the young lady to where the family could afford it. So
Amazing. It
kind of does that one kid at a time is the way we look at it.
You know, you mentioned your numbers are up this year. I know Gordon Tech had a very successful recruitment for their incoming class. Notre Dame for boys, same story. Is this a trend, Nick, or are these just the results of concerted efforts at these individual schools?
Well, I think it's, I hate to call it a trend yet because it's too soon, and we've only seen three schools, three out of the 39. But we have always seen the high schools having a better enrollment track record than the elementary schools. And so it doesn't surprise me that we have a number of schools that are holding their own or increasing slightly. It'll be interesting to see. This will be the first year that we come back from not having closed any schools on the elementary level. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But, you know, where the high schools were, the elementary schools were losing 4%, 5%, 6%, the high schools were losing 0.5%. And it's a phenomenon here that in Chicago that is quite different than around the country. But here, what I think you see is that people feel as if they're going to send their kids to a Catholic high school. First, you know, that's one of their first choices, and the second second choice sometimes is the Catholic elementary school.
Yeah, so maybe they're saving up for that high school tuition.
Exactly right.
Although the St. Francis is very affordable. That congratulations on being able to do quality education for that kind
I'm
of
sure
price.
Rick knows that's a two-edged sword because
it certainly is.
The more they or the less they charge the family, the more he has to come up with.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But it is a labor of love for all of us, and it's been a great year, and I think we're going to have a fantastic year.
Thanks, Greg. For everything that you guys have done at St. Francis de Sales. It's a great program.
Appreciate and have it. A wonderful celebration of your 50th year.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Catholic Community of Faith. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be taking calls from principals and teachers and continue our conversation about Catholic schools. Do not go away.
Thanks, Rick.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Knapp, weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. On this Monday morning, we are talking about Catholic schools as Catholic school children across the Archdiocese are returning to their grade schools and Catholic high schools. And they're doing that because of the service and the dedication of a lot of committed people within the diocese, principals, teachers, pastors, and especially parents. So we're going to be hearing about from some of those, a couple of principals or pastors or parents in this segment. We've got a couple calls waiting, so stay tuned. We're going to be talking to them in just a few minutes. But right now, we're going to be talking to Father Larry Dowling, who is the pastor, the new pastor of St. Agatha Parish on the west side. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you. Great to be here.
How long have you been there at the parish now?
6 months.
6 months. And you took over under a very difficult and stressful situation.
Exactly, after the events surrounding Father McCormick, so stepping in and trying to help the parish to continue to heal from those events and continue to build and start visioning toward the future.
Well, I don't want to embarrass you, but I can't think of a better person to have been chosen to step into such a difficult situation. You're a man of great faith and a man of great courage. Thank you very much for being willing to do that.
You're welcome.
And I would just like to echo that. It's been very good working with Father Larry over the past 6 or so months. And, of course, we worked with you at St. Denis.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we had to close St. Denis, but the way you handled that was certainly exemplary, too.
Thank you.
So you just go from one hard thing to another.
Oh, yes.
So it seems, where God leads.
You've got some exciting new initiatives happening at St. Agatha's, Larry. Why don't you tell us about that? You've renamed your school.
Right. We have gone from Our Lady of the West Side to St. Agatha Catholic Academy. St. Agatha has had education, Catholic education, since 1895. And so we thought it was a good time to change the name. To go back to the original, since all of the parishes that were connected to Our Lady of the West Side have since merged with St. Agatha's. So,
yeah.
So we've got that, and the name has been exciting to people because it's for a lot of people it's reclaiming an identity, and it's really a fresh start, wonderful way that we've incorporated a logo that includes the stained glass rose window in our church, and so there's just a general excitement around that.
That's wonderful. You're also, we've been talking here about the challenges of putting our children in Catholic schools, and you've got something new developing there that's going to help parents be able to do that, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. We've started an initiative called an Early Childhood Scholarship, and I've reached out to a number of parishes, a number of priests, actually to all the priests in the Archdiocese, and to a few personal friends. And so far we've had over 120 priests respond with, along with some of the other, with parishes for, to come up with about $45,000 thus far, toward, this Early Childhood Scholarship Fund.
Now, that's remarkable. So you reached out specifically to other priests within the diocese to make financial contributions to this fund.
Exactly. I thought it was would be a positive way in talking with some of my brother priests about a positive way to say we are there for the children of St. Agatha. With the things that have happened there, we want to make a positive statement about our support of the children in that area.
Right. So this money came from the priest's private money or from the parish money or both?
From both. About $30,000 from the priests themselves.
Wow, that's quite a significant contribution.
It is. It is indeed. And so I'm very thankful, obviously, to the priests, and very proud of their generosity.
What a living sacrament of us being the body of Christ.
Exactly.
It's really true that when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, and when one part of the body responds in goodness and generosity, the whole body benefits from it.
Exactly.
Praise God. Well, we've got a call on, is that what we got here, producers? Okay, we're going to go to more telephones. I can't read all of that fast enough, what's on the screen there. So who's our first caller here? Dan Tolley on the phone. Let's bring Dan on the line. What you got to tell us here this morning?
Good morning. I'm here with Pete Newell from our board of directors. We're just excited to get this 2007-2008 school year underway with our enrollment the highest it's been in 18 years.
We were just talking about that. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. It was a lot of hard work over the last year, and our transition has been ultimately successful due to the support of Cardinal George and Dr. Wolsonovich and all of you in the community. So we're really excited about this start of this new year.
Well, that's wonderful. What do you got planned for the start of the year?
Well, we've got a couple of things underway. We're working on some new green initiatives. We've gotten a couple of grants underway from BP and Toyota in curriculum. We've got new solar panels that are being installed for teaching alternative energies. We've got some new things underway with our service program, revamping it to make it more useful and have students be successful. We just had some great news here at Notre Dame. We had a student, Brendan O'Reilly, who got a perfect 36 score on the ACT. So the good news is really at Notre Dame.
Of course, one of the biggest things at Notre Dame is the governance structure and the sponsorship, and that is that the Notre Dame has created an association of the Christian faithful, which is like a religious order, a small religious order that sponsors the school, and that's a real different model. And my hat's off to everybody who has been involved with that. And I won't even begin to mention the names, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but there's been a tremendous number of people. And we have a new president and principal at the school, too, don't we, Pete?
Yes, we do, and we're all very excited about the new leadership at the school and the high energy level that you feel just walking into the halls. The ACF is a new structure.
Association of Christian Faithful.
Yes, it is. And that board is very closely tied to the Board of Governance at the school, and the Association of Christian Faithful's role is to ensure the continued Catholic nature of the school. And I can assure you that even with the change in sponsorship from the Holy Cross Order to our new structure, that is continuing. And we're very excited about some of the opportunity that lies ahead of us to demonstrate that in a very physical way.
We're talking to representatives of Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. We didn't mention that earlier. And, Nick, I had the privilege, actually, 1.5 weeks ago, of doing a retreat for the Association of Christian Faithful from Notre Dame. Uh-huh. So I can tell you that they're a really dedicated and very talented group of individuals, and the school is very lucky to have them helping to steer the rudder of that school.
And that's an example of what we're calling boards of specified jurisdiction, getting more and more lay people involved who have a commitment to a school. They'll understand the problems and they become part of the solution rather than just being critical. They have the role of being responsible to solve the problems.
Well, guys, thank you for calling, and best of luck with the start of the new school year at Notre Dame for Boys. We have another call we're going to go to. Barbara has a question for Father Larry about the St. Agatha Scholarship Fund. Barbara?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father Larry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Nick.
Good morning.
Good morning. You mentioned a scholarship program that you put together, and you had a tremendous response from your brother priest. Father, how does anybody else make a contribution to this great, great initiative? And there's probably a lot of us out here who would like to help out as well.
Are you an angel from heaven, Barbara?
Thank you, Barbara.
Oh, I got my wings are in the dry
cleaners.
All right, cleaners.
Along with your checkbook. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. No, you can send a check made out to St. Agatha Catholic Academy. To the Early Scholarship Fund, or to the scholarship fund in general, and address it to St. Agatha Parish, 3147 West Douglas Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois 60623. So more than welcome, much more to
no
this,
minimum
to the
donations,
fund.
But $1,000 would be nice.
And just okay. To add to that, the scholarship fund is meant to offer a base $500 scholarship to anyone, any parent or guardian wanting to enroll their kids in any of those grade levels. So
any of the grade levels being
pre-K through grade one.
Grade one, okay.
Right.
That's fantastic, Father. Yep. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we've got another caller, Joe Accardi, calling from St. Mary of the Angels. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. What's your question for Dr. Nick or for Father Larry?
They asked me to call. I just wanted to mention how earlier they had talked about the boards of specified jurisdiction, and we here at St. Mary of the Angels have just started our board, and we've had a tremendous response. We have 14 individuals that the pastor has asked to come on board, and they are all excited, and they have had a nice first meeting with Father Robert Kroll and Dr. Carol Palmer from the Office of Catholic Schools. And I do believe that the boards are going to be the way to go after seeing all the excitement. They didn't want to wait till an October meeting. They decided to meet in 2 weeks and really want to work on our financial situation here at St. Mary's.
I'm really glad to hear that, Joe, and I appreciate your hard work in getting that rolling along with Father Hillary's role in that whole process. I think that we need to say here that there is research that shows that Catholic schools that have boards of specified or limited jurisdiction are more financially viable than Catholic schools which just have advisory boards. And the difference is the level of a sense of ownership on the part of the lay people. They really believe in a board of specified jurisdiction that they have a more significant role to play. They take their responsibility much more seriously. They roll up their sleeves and they get things done. Whereas an advisory board, they just don't feel that sense of ownership. So I really appreciate your call, Joe, and certainly hope that you experience all the success that looks like you're going to have.
Well, sure. I think you're absolutely right. The parishioners that have come on this board, they had very little clue about how serious the problems are in a school building that dates back to 1899. So once they heard and they saw things, they never really knew these. They had been parishioners for years, and now they want to say, okay, what do we need to do in order to get a new fire alarm, to update the electrical, to take care of all these things that by and by have basically gotten put to the wayside because the funds are not available.
I think that we'd like to add here, too, Gratz, is if there's anybody out there listening who would like to serve on a board of specified jurisdiction at any one of these schools, to call my office at 312-751-5212, and we'll talk to you about the possibility of you serving on one of these boards. We need good board members at these schools. We hope to have 200 boards in a few years. We have about 60 or so right now being implemented, but we need board members to make that to happen.
Give us that number once again there, Nick.
312-751-5212. That's my direct line.
And Joe, thanks for your call, and continue the great work there at St. Mary of the Angels.
Thank you.
Father Larry, are you constituting a board at St. Agatha's?
We are in the process of doing so. We have not had one, so it's great to hear the positives about that. And again, following up on Dr. Nick, encouragement of people, if they're interested in serving on our board, talk through Father Nick or through Dr. Nick, and hopefully we can make that connection.
What kind of process of discernment do you recommend for principals or pastors who are trying to constitute a board? What kind of people should they be looking for?
Well, we need people who have the sense of being a good boardman. They're not worried about the everyday working, you know, where the whether or not the teacher is teaching the proper way, whether or not there's discipline problems. What we need somebody on a board is to look at the big issues about how to market the school, how to find the resources to make sure that the principal has everything and the teachers have everything they need, how to provide the kind of leadership, but not to get into the day-to-day kinds of, you know, challenges, but the bigger picture things. So you need people who can see the bigger picture and have the moxie to be able to go out into the community and generate the resources to support the local school.
That's helpful. We're going to go back to the phones. We have Kathy Dieterman from Des Plaines. Kathy, tell us about what's been going on at your school.
Well, aside from the flooding and the power outage, we've not been in school Friday, and kids aren't back yet today because we're recuperating. We just got our power back on yesterday.
Well, good luck with all that work.
Thank you. We are very excited. We have a 10,000-square-foot Parish Life Center being built, and going to be a wonderful addition to St. Zachary, provide the school with a gym as well as a wonderful meeting place for the many parish activities that take place here at St. Zachary.
Was this the end result of a big fundraising campaign?
It all started many years ago, back with the Millennium Campaign, and that's when it first was being spoken about. It was our goal, and we had a little bump in the road, and some of the parishioners said, come on, we got to do this. And so it's finally come back, and this week they should be digging the hole. So,
well, that's wonderful. Congratulations, and both with the cleanup and with the exciting new center that you all will be enjoying.
Thank you.
We're going to move to another caller. We have Dr. Lucine from St. Ferdinand School. Tell us about your new preschool class and the new gymnasium.
We're very excited. As you know, we're in the Belmont-Cragin area on the near north side, and what we have is a groundswell of enrollment, and so we're open a second preschool room. As you know, we did have Marta Ostrowska. We do have Marta Ostrowska, who it was the award winner for an early childhood teacher of the year last year. And so it's all exciting because we see our capacity doubling now to be able to offer for early childhood students. In addition, we have the newly remodeled and expanded gym, which is great. I mean, our parents, from the time I've come in, have been asking for a new gym, and now we have one. And so it's just really exciting to see it all come together. And last but not, well, there's two more things. One is...
Well, you got 5 seconds.
Our laptop lab, we're wireless, we're remote. Dr. Nick has been over to our school and knows that we have virtual capabilities. Well, we expanded our needs, and so now we have a laptop lab that moves to any classroom.
Well, Dr. Lucien, congratulations, and best of luck in this new year with your school there. Father Larry, you are a living example of how new life comes through death and difficult situations. Congratulations on the good work you're doing, and much continued success. Dr. Nick, you're a great leader of this school system. We want to thank all of our listeners. You've been listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, AM 820. Have a wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.